Well, it's good to have folks here. I was thinking back, some of us started our journey of knowing each other and battling the faith together for over 20 years. I've known some of you. 99 is when I was flew into International Falls, and I believe it was 99 that the Mize moved back. Or was it 2000? 99 too, wasn't it? So, yes, we converged on I Falls about the same time, and I Falls has never been the same. And I promise you, it hasn't. So, for some of you, this is just a reunion. For others, it's probably the first time you've heard me preach. For Gary, he never listens anyway, so it's good to see you, Gary. It's good to be here. Whilst I was thinking about what I would preach on, I thought about the last couple of years of what we've been dealing with. And then I watched your faces as you were singing, "To God Be the Glory." And rejoice, rejoice. And I'm like, they're lipping it, but their faces aren't showing that you're really, you're on top of things spiritually. It looks like you're battle weary. Like you've been in the war. You're not going to quit the war, but you're tired. And I really look across the landscape of Christianity, and that's what I'm seeing. That there's disillusionment. There is just a tired face. There's confusion as to what are our marching orders during the strange era which we find ourselves in. I think of those who have fought for the American freedoms and watching them being trampled all over this year like is in no other time in our history that we've witnessed. And as we observe all of that going on, we often get grounded to this earth, and that's what brings confusion. We get our eyes on the temporal, and we get our eyes off of the eternal. We're to be faith walkers. We're to be walking in the faith. And as we look at this last 2 years, though it's understandable you're weary, it's not acceptable. So we have to look and say, why? Why is it that I am weary in the battle? And often I find it's because your expectations are not biblical. You're expecting things to turn out a certain way. You're expecting if you put the energy in and you do all the right things, that it's like a mathematical equation. 1 + 1 = 2. But that's not the case in spiritual warfare. So we're going to look at faith. So turn your Bibles over to Hebrews 11. And we're going to look at some heroes of the faith. And as we look at the heroes of the faith, I want you to compare your own faith to the heroes. The first thing I want to highlight is that heroes of the faith are human. So you claim to be born-again believers here. I don't think there's anybody here that would say, I'm unchurched, I don't have faith in Jesus. So let's just assume I'm talking to a group of believers who still claim to have the faith. But having the faith and walking in faith is two different things. So let's determine whether you are walking in the faith. Well, how do you determine that? Well, you compare yourself to the biblical commands and the biblical characters. Those who walk the faith. And compare yourself to those who walk the faith. Are you doing the same? Well, the writer of Hebrews begins by defining the faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. How many of you would say, I want to go to Jesus and say, give me an F on my report card? No one is wanting that. As a Christian, once you cross over into the eternal state, you're going to want to hear A+ on your report card. Well, he's saying, well, there's only one way to get an A-plus on your report card. Walk by faith. So the definition of faith is somewhat, let's put it this way, confusing for those who don't speak the old King James English. Now, if I would say faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, what is the take-home message? And I ask you to say, okay, now define faith. It's defined right here. Now, you tell me what it means. It's kind of hard to come up with a definition, isn't it? It's like, it's kind of like love. Define love. Well, I know it when I see it. Not really. We kind of need definitions. So, what this is saying here is that faith is trust in action with anticipated hope. Trust in action means I will obey commands, instruction of God with the hope that it's the right thing to do, and in the end, it will be rewarded by God. Trust in action with anticipated hope. It's not trust, all right, God, I'm going to do it, but I know it's going to turn out bad. Eeyore, oh, well, I'm a Christian, and I guess I got to obey Jesus. Well, here I go. I got up this morning. I read my Bible. The sky is falling in. Wow, there's no hope. That's not walking by faith. You did the right thing with the wrong attitude. But doing the right thing with the right attitude means I'm doing the right thing with the hope, the assurance, it's the right thing. And I'm satisfied in that. We are commerce Christians. We are commercialized in our Christianity. We figure if we do enough credits for God, then we're going to get a return. If we buy enough credits here, we're going to get a return, and that return is going to be really good for me. You do realize that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Him. It's not about me. It's about Him. So He says, if you walk by faith, you will trust with anticipated hope. You will never lose hope. So Pastor John Schofield's wife is down at Calvary Baptist, is on the ventilator machine. She's in induced coma, paralysis. So her lungs will be repaired in order to fight the battle of COVID, COVID pneumonia. So Pastor has to process. She's been faithful all her life. She's 60 years of age. Why, God, are you taking my wife? How does he process that with hope? How does he process that with hope? Another pastor friend of mine up in Regina, he and his wife came down with COVID. It was, as of 2 weeks ago, their 50th anniversary. She died. He's in the hospital, can't even mourn and bury his wife, because he's in the hospital trying to overcome COVID. Life's not fair. It doesn't make sense. If God was a loving God, do you allow those questions in your head? Because as soon as you start producing questions like that, you're putting God on the puppet strings, and you are trying to dance him, make him answer to you. You're not trusting that he's all-knowing. You're not trusting and believing that he's all-powerful. You're not trusting and believing that he is truly loving. Well, how can it be the most loving thing to take a man's wife on the 50th anniversary? I mean, that's just... no compassionate God would do that. Really? So now you are loving God, are loving more than God. You have laid down your son to die on a cross, to shed his blood for all mankind? What have you given up out of love? And you have the audacity to question the love of God? There are many things in life that are not going to make sense to you. And you need to be okay with that. Because God doesn't always give us the answers. But he always gives us the instruction. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. So trust in action with anticipated hope. So faith is expressed in the examples of the elders. He says this, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. So our first example of one of the elders that obtained a reputation of walking by faith is Abel. Now, we're going to have to read between the lines here. We know that they were given instruction to worship God and to give a sacrifice. And the sacrifice was obviously specific enough that Cain and Abel knew what was required of them. When we get there, we see that Abel's sacrifice is accepted and Cain's is rejected. So I think it's worthy of our time to go over to Genesis chapter 4 and look at this first example that God thought important for you to know. God says, I want the first example in the chapter 11 to be Adam's son, Abel, to be an example as unto what is faith. What does it look like? I wouldn't have chose this example. I mean, I was like, why on earth? There's very little about this man's life that we get to see. But he says, this is the first example I want you to compare your life to see if you're walking by faith. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare a brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the first things of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, accepted it as biblical, accepted it as obedience, blessed it, looked favorably upon it. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Why did he kill him? Well, we're given why he was killed. He was killed because God favored him. And his jealousy took over. Not humility. See, humility should have taken over and said, you know what, God, I was wrong. I will worship you the way you tell me to worship you. You know, you can worship the right God in the wrong way. You may have the right God, but if you're worshiping God according to your rules, you are not going to be blessed by God. You are not going to be blessed. Well, I'm saved. And I did this for Jesus, and I did this. Yeah, but he told you not to do that. But I was doing it for him. No, but he told you not to do it. Yeah, but I had right intentions. But he told you not to do it. Yeah, but he should be happy because I really emotionally love him. If you love me, you keep my commandments. I don't care how you feel or think you feel. You can go smoke up some cocaine, get feeling real good, and praise Jesus songs. And as your high as a kite, praising Jesus songs, feeling real close to the celestial, you're an ambassador of Satan. But you feel like you're in right relationship. And some of you may be doing that right now in your lives. There's clear violations of the Word of God, and you are giving it to Jesus. But I'm doing this for you, Jesus. Why are you upset at me? Why are you angry? If you were to do right, would I be upset at you? No. What's the solution? Do right. It doesn't take a genius to understand this. So Cain, under the pressure of family, and some of you have to stand up to your own children. Some of you have to stand up to your own wife, wives. Some of you have to stand up to your own extended family. Some of you have to stand up and say, this is wrong, and I will not do it. And I will not participate in it. I will not bless it. It is wrong. And that's a step of faith. You know why that's a step of faith? Because they may become your enemy. But they're family! I can't sacrifice family! God, you wouldn't expect me to sacrifice family! What was the discussion of Cain and Abel in that field? Obviously, Abel says, I'm going to serve God. I don't apologize. I will continue. You will not serve God. You think you're better than me. No, I don't. I'm just obeying Him. Well, God bless you. He didn't bless me. You arrogant, self-righteous Christian. Who do you think you are to tell me what I'm doing is wrong? Well, let's go through a list of wrongs, biblically, that we can say is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. We're okay with that? Whether you are or not, it is wrong. Are you going to stand up and say it? See, Cain stood up and said it. Or Abel stood up and said it. You're wrong. You're wrong. And I'm going to obey Jesus. But you're wrong. People don't like to be told they're wrong. And they don't like to be held accountable to the standard of the Word of God. So Cain says, no, I'm going to do it my way, God, and you'll accept it. And God says, no, I won't. I'm God. I created you. You're my servant. So when we walk by faith, then biblical faith acts right, even in the face of costly opposition within the family. The family of God, sometimes you are going to have to stand by faith and say, fellow member, you cannot be a part of this church because you are walking in habitual sin. You're not walking by faith. Whether they're a Christian or not, you don't get to call that one. But you are called to declare right, right, wrong, wrong. And it doesn't matter if it's blood family or if it's spiritual family. Right's right, wrong's wrong. And as soon as those who are doing wrong, claiming the name of Christ, and they declare it to be okay, you have to declare it wrong, and you have to separate from them. But they're family. But you don't understand the cost. Oh, really? No, I think I understand the cost. It cost Abel his life. And he becomes an example of walking by faith for you and I to find courage and strength. So what does God expect of us? He does not expect of us to change this world. He does not expect of us to fix all the brokenness. He expects us to just faithfully obey Him in whichever day, culture, circumstance we find ourselves in. It's real simple, but it's kind of complex. Because we can't do it without the power of God. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit giving us, building our trust. So we rely on His power, but we have to be committed to one thing. I'm going to walk in obedience. Trusting is the right way. How many times have you guys convinced yourself it's the wrong way to obey? Maybe this week you did it. Oh, it's just wrong to obey. God, you just don't understand the pressure I'm under. God, you just don't. Have you ever had that dialogue? You're not walking by faith. Faith says trust in God with inaction, right? With anticipated hope. What's the action? Obedience. He gives the next example of faith. Biblical faith acts right even when it is scorned, mocked, and rejected in society. I don't know if you're a vaxxer or a non-vaxxer. I don't know if you are a pro come to church without a mask or anti come to church with a mask. And we have, the Christian community has been split and divided and fragmented because they have thrown away biblical principles when dealing with our modern situation. What are the biblical principles? Christian liberty. You know what Christian liberty is? Where it's not directly stated, prohibited in the Scriptures or commanded in the Scriptures, you give the rights of each individual to make his choice in a manner that pleases God. You don't get to judge whether he's pleasing God or not, but you get to defend his right to make the choice. Christian liberty. We're used to Christian liberty being in the area of, well, should a woman wear slacks or pants to church? Or should she wear just only dresses to church? Laura says, man, forget that stuff. I'm exercising my liberty. I think I saw her in a dress twice in my life. It was way back then, right? Remember that? Dress time? I hear they're more comfortable. I wouldn't know. I never wore one. But so you tried it and you said, no, my vote is I'm going back to my jeans. Some of you ladies like, no, we're gonna wear my dress for church. And amen! But as soon as we start looking at each other saying, you are in sin because. You don't love Jesus because. You don't love others because. We are throwing out biblical truth. You don't love others because you're not wearing a mask. You do love others. You're really a true Christian because you're wearing a mask. You see where the church is getting? Because we threw out a biblical principle. We're not walking by faith anymore. We're walking by fear. And then and pride. Because those who are not walking by fear are proud about it.
Well, I'm not afraid to die. Cough, cough, cough on me. Come on, bring it on, baby.
It's like, okay, that's biblical, right? No, that's not biblical either. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering. Where is the fruit of the Spirit being expressed? In our church. Toward each other. In the area of liberty. See, you get confused your constitutional rights versus your biblical responsibilities. And you start fighting for constitutional rights, which are earthly, not heavenly, which are temporal, not eternal. And you stop walking by faith and you start walking by sight. You start making choices based upon what you see and understand and how to respond. No, come back to faith. Come back to faith. Enoch. Now, we don't get much on Enoch, which I love. We don't get much on Abel and we don't get much on Enoch. But of both, they're identified as heroes of the faith. Would you guys pick these two? Aaron, seriously, you've been in the Bible longer than I've been alive. You're old. But in that, would you have picked those two? Would they have been on the top of your list? The first ones you read? I mean, who would be on the top of your list? Let's grab a couple. Daniel. Yeah. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Come on. Who else?
David.
Noah. We're getting to Noah. Probably won't get to him today, but Noah. But these two? I think the beauty of these two is this. They represent humanity. They're not the bright lights. They're just common, everyday people. Just getting up, putting their boots on, and taking on their day. But they're doing it in a way that pleases God. They're doing it in a way that honors God. So, when we look at Hebrews 11 and the description of Enoch, it's not that great. I mean, it's not that exhaustive. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had this testimony. He walked by faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He pleased God. He had this testimony, he had this public demonstration that in limited revelation, we have the entire Bible. They had sound bites of the Word of God. And that little bit of revelation he obeyed it every day. He lived now. He's not perfect. We know that. He's not sinless. We know that. But he was characterized by a person that wanted to please God over man. And when God says, I'm going to take you home. I'm going to translate you. You're not even going to face death. And as I translate you, I'm translating you because you walk by faith. And look at the response in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do you diligently seek God? You look at your life, you compare it to the Word of God, and you determine what parts of your life you have to get fixed and get right and bring into obedience to Him. God's merciful and God's gracious, but do you want to just live on His mercy? Wouldn't you want to live on His blessing? God's blessing is only to those who walk by faith. By the way, don't define blessing as Christmas presents under the tree. His blessings may be the power to say, I'm going to face all my fears without compromise. That's blessing. Rather than the coward Christian who is facing all of his fears and cowering back and becomes just like the world because they're not going to fight the faith anymore, and then they have to live with their conscience and their shame and their guilt. That's not blessing. But the blessed one knows God is pleased. You know the boldness and strength there is in knowing God's pleased with you? Well, how do I know if He's pleased with me? It's a great mystery. How can I tell whether Jesus is pleased with me? The answer is, come on. The answer is, it is right there. I just read it. Okay, you guys all read it in unison then. Verse 6. Let's all read it in unison. Ready? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And what is faith? Let's define faith again. Trust in action with anticipated hope. Trusting God is true. And obeying His word. That's faith. How you doing? How you doing on your faith walk? Abel does it. He gets killed for it. Woo! What a blessing. You better watch out how you define blessing. No, the blessing is God's pleased. I don't care if God's pleased. I want to please me. And every time we choose to sin, that's what we're saying. You cannot expect God's blessing in your life of His being pleased with you when you are choosing to compromise your faith. Under the circumstances, I'm doing okay. I hear that a lot. Since when is a believer to be under the circumstances? We're not to be controlled by circumstances. We're to be controlled by God's declared truth. So you do right, no matter what the cost. And there will be a cross. Yea, and all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's your verse. Huh. What a promise. Joel Osteen's got nothing on that verse. He won't be preaching that one. But if you're going to preach the whole counsel of God, you better do the wake-up call to Christians. If you're going to serve God, you're going to suffer for it. But God is going to be pleased. As a parent, stop licking your wounds because you're suffering for doing right. God told you that would happen. And He doesn't lie. But He's pleased. For the difficult marriages, when you made the vow unto death, for better, for worse, and you're in the worst stage in your marriage, stop licking your wounds. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. And look at this. You stay in it. You fight till the death. And maybe you can even pray for death. But you stay in. And if you will do that for Christ, God is pleased. And you'll hear, well done, a good and faithful servant. You mean doing the hero faith walk thing is just as ugly and common as sticking it out in a difficult marriage? Yeah. Yeah, it is. You mean it's just as common as going to work and when you're getting spit in the face and ridiculed, you're just going to be kind and pleasant back and you're just going to do your job and you're not going to get vengeance? Yeah. Yeah, God's pleased with that. Well, that's not like building an ark. No, no, it's not all that big, is it? Not that flashy. But when you choose in the hard times to obey God, and your greatest love is to please Him, then guess what? You're going to be happy. You're going to have peace. You're going to have joy in the midst of rejection. Because you know that rejection is not because you're an idiot. That rejection is not because you're selfish. That rejection is not because you are manipulating people. That rejection is because you are faithful. And they hate Jesus. And they hate Jesus in you. And Jesus is pleased. So you're okay with that. You're okay with the rejection because you know Christ is pleased with you. But here's the catch. Your highest goal, your highest good has to be pleasing Jesus. Because if it's pleasing your spouse, if it's pleasing your children, if it's pleasing your workers, your boss, if it's pleasing anybody else, you will not walk by faith. Your children will control you. Your spouse will control you. Your friends and society will control you. Your friends at church will control you. Remember, you can do all the right things for the wrong reasons. You've got to be doing it to please Him. And you must be controlled by a desire to please Him. That's what walking by faith does. And God says, by the way, as we walk through the heroes of the faith, some are going to be killed for it. Some are going to be rewarded and be second on the throne of Egypt. Or second on the throne of Babylon, Joseph and Daniel, for their walk of faith. But some will be sawn asunder. Some will be cast into the wilderness, running for their lives. We don't get to write the chapter of faith. We don't get to write it. We just get to enlist. I'm going to walk by faith. God will write the chapter. I have no idea what your chapter is going to be. But I do know this. The battle-weary faces that I see are not because the battle is so big and so difficult. The battle-weariness is because you're walking by sight You're not walking by faith. That's your choice. We're going to look at difficult times. Noah is given the instruction to build the ark. And he's given the instruction. He's told that he's going to destroy, God is going to destroy the whole world. And if we look at the declaration of the times, we see that everything was vile and wicked. That everything, every thought of man was for evil. In Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Is it that bad for us yet? No, not even close. Oh, yes, it is, yes. You've got a church family here that are wanting to serve God. This alone proves that it's not that bad yet. So you should be there to encourage each other as a family. He had to go against the entire world for 120 years with one little statement. I'm going to destroy the world. Build the ark and get on it. I'll save you and your family. How many times do you think he was tempted to question the instruction? Maybe it was a bad dream. Maybe it's something I ate. Maybe I'm going a little psychotic because everybody else says I'm nuts. This man had a difficult challenge, and he says he preached righteousness for 120 years. He was a man who preached righteousness. He gave the gospel for 120 years, and who got saved? So stop whining when you say, "I give out tracts, but nobody gets saved." What's God want you to do? Keep giving out tracts. But I talked to my sister many times about Jesus, and she just won't get saved. Have you done it 120 years? Nope. But you don't understand. You know what? Maybe I don't understand, but I know who does. God does. And I know Noah does. You really think that your hardships are at the level of Noah? All mankind was against him. Every person on earth. He was the freak show. They were probably setting up tents and selling tickets to observe the freak family for 120 years. Let your imagination run wild about how difficult that was, because I don't think we can fathom it. And what God is saying is, walk by faith. Why? Because other men have and you can. You got no excuse. And I'm going to close with this. You jump over Hebrews 12. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses..." Whoa. Who's the great cloud of witnesses? Hey, he's writing a book here. Chapters and chapters are connected. They're not isolated. So we know who. We know the cloud of witnesses. Who are they? The heroes of faith. "Well, seeing that you have this, now you need to do something. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us, and let us run this race that is set before us." What's the race that's set before us? Walk by faith. How you doing? You walking by sight? I think some of you are, based upon the heaviness of your life. We all struggle in moments of walking by sight. But we shouldn't be characterized by it. How do I know I'm walking by faith? I'm trusting God's word and trying to obey it. in every aspect of my life. I know some of you like family. I know that there are some in this church who are not walking by faith. I know that is a fact.
Oh, holy, you're judging me.
No, I'm not. You're walking in disobedience. And you need to repent. God is not pleased with you. But I'm coming to church. You might as well go sit out in the outdoor outhouse and worship God. Because it's about as vile to Him when you come to worship God while purposely choosing to sin.
But God, you should be pleased. I'm at least coming to church.
Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. It is repulsive to Him.
Well, who are you to judge me?
God says to exhort, to rebuke, with all longsuffering. I'm just telling you. You want God to be pleased. You want to be a hero of the faith. And I think if you're saved, all of us want to be. If you're truly saved. Then you need to repent of those sins which you've allowed in your life and you're giving permission to in your life. And you need to surrender your life back to Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Opportunity to respond. You've been challenged to look at your life, look at the heroes of the faith, Abel, Enoch, and a look at Noah. And as you compare your obedience, your faith walk to them, you're recognizing, first of all, the first two are little sound bites in their life, and they seem to be just normal people. Faith. Noah was asked to do great things to test his faith. We're simply asked to obey the Word. You know that in your life right now, you're not a faith walker. But today, you're going to choose to start making pleasing God the most important thing in your life. And that's the decision you're making. Would you just please raise your hand? I hope you're encouraged by this, that faith walking is the answer. Amen. I see those hands come up. Anyone else? Yes. God doesn't promise to change your circumstances. He promises that He'll be pleased and He'll honor you as you honor Him. And that may be hardship. But to have the sense that God is pleased is the victory in itself. Lord, we ask for those who are in this congregation who would not raise their hand because they're not ready to give up their sin. Would not raise their hand because they fear man more than they fear You. But Lord, You'll continue to work in their hearts and remove the scales from their eyes and bring whatever is needed to bring them to repentance. For those who are walking by faith, they didn't need to raise their hand because that's what they're doing every day. I pray that they walk away encouraged and strengthened and excited because they're doing the simple things right. They're getting up in the morning. They're praying to You and they're asking for the strength to walk in obedience to You each day. That's faith walking. And I pray that they would find encouragement through Abel, Enoch, through Noah. And as we now go into our Sunday school hour, we ask, Lord, that You would use Your word to strengthen, challenge us to fight the good fight. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.